This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
See, here's the other point, forgetting about General Order 1, the Prime Directive, whatever we say about UFOs. If they are, as you say, visitors from other worlds, number one, if they're alien, how would we even understand their motives? They may be totally different from anything we'd understand. And number two, if and when they communicate with people, would they be telling the truth or just engaging in some kind of psychological experiment at our expense?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a mystery for sure. I still think the best theory we have is extraterrestrial. It's hard for me to get away from that theory because, I mean, look at us. If they're not extraterrestrials, where does that leave us?
How about time travelers?
You could definitely march out a number of cases that support that theory. And the ETs, particularly the Greys, have said that on a number of occasions that, oh, yeah, we used to look just like you, or we are from your future. Yeah, I've heard that a number of times.
Okay, so if we're going to listen to E.T., if they imply they're from some other planet, why not listen to E.T. when they imply we're from some other time? And I guess you could look at human evolution in the far future when we do fewer physical activities and we improve the power of our minds, and therefore you have the big heads and the small bodies.
Right. Well, I mean, it's entirely possible. I think it's a mistake to lump all these guys together. I think that they probably do come from other planets, but they're interdimensional as well, as are we, if you really want to get into it. I mean, we have a soul, a dream body, an astral body. I don't know. I mean,
well, okay, it makes perfect sense, really. I mean, when we say ET, we're just talking about off the planet somewhere. I mean, another planet in the future that's still ET. It's not ours. It's in a completely different timeline. It's a completely separate thing, you know, or even if it's in another universe, that's still ET. You know, unless it comes from somewhere on, this brings up a question. You're one of our experts on underwater UFOs. Now, have there been any cases where students have seen UFOs coming up out of the water?
I haven't found any. It wouldn't surprise me a bit, but no, I don't know of any cases like that, so I couldn't really speak to that. But there are a lot of cases where these objects hover very low or land, but no, as far as I know, none are coming out of the water next to schools.
So or if they're on a field trip or they're on boats or something, you know, like...
Yeah, school buses have been targeted in a few cases. There was one really kind of dramatic case of that up in Canada near the Yukon area, where a school bus driver complained about this UFO that was kept appearing on her route. It got to be so bad that she asked to change routes, and it worked for about 2-3 weeks, at which point the UFO started showing up again, and this time it came very close. And actually came and hovered right in front of the school bus to the point where she could see humanoid figures inside of it. And following that real close incident, it never came back again. But I don't know why. I kept following the school bus over and over again for a period of about 3 or 4 months.
Wow. What year was that, roughly?
I'd have to look that up, but I believe that was 70s or
back
so.
In the 70s, yeah. There's a lot going on back in the 70s. See, again, if it was today, every kid has a cell phone and they'd be having it like right up there and it'd be on YouTube in like 5 minutes, you know? So it seems like they know that now, the aliens I'm talking about here, and they're taking steps to be more elusive. Because the better we've got at detecting them, the better they have to be at being elusive, which implies that they want to affect the way that we think and behave and what to believe from behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, that case I mentioned was 1976, so that fits in. But I've got modern cases. There was a case on Catalina Island involving a Boy Scout troop, and a lot of witnesses. There were adults there, and I know of 3 instances where people had cell phones and tried to use them as cameras. And in each case, the battery went down to zero. And these were charged batteries. So there's
interference
factor.
Yeah, right. See, whenever we figure out something, then they find a way to adapt, because nobody's going to carry around like an old Zenit film camera that you have to crank by hand anymore that weighs about 5 pounds and takes film pictures, except maybe the odd photography student or something.
There are some really remarkable photographs out there which do appear to be genuine. The Rex Heflin photographs, the Trent photographs from McMinnville, Oregon. These are great photographic cases which have never been debunked. But in these cases, there's every appearance that these objects are posing and know they're going to be photographed. I don't know. We get into the realm of speculation, and I hate to do that because soon you're down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, but that's half the fun, too. I mean, we know what we're dealing with here, and we're all responsible enough. Part of the fun of dealing with all of these cases is trying to imagine what they might mean. If we don't apply our imagination and try to figure out how to make sense of it, then we're not really going to get anywhere with it. And like Gene, I think we can try to extrapolate and probably be pretty good at extrapolating based on their behavior. If they're studying our behavior, we can study theirs. And psychology and logic, it doesn't really matter how intelligent you are. It still all adds up to be the same thing. They could be 10,000 years ahead of us, but it still adds up to the same thing. 2 and 2 is still 4. Behavior creates ways of thinking, right? Or it doesn't really create ways of thinking. It reveals ways of thinking.
Yeah, some cases are so bizarre. I mean, like the Lowell Elementary School case. This was on April 29th, 1964. Literally, like, I think it was 4 days after the Lonnie Zamora landing, which was about, not far away from there, like, 80 miles or so. And what happened was the main witness is Sharon Stahl. She's a 10-year-old girl. Her sister was there, her younger sister, Robin, and a bunch of other students on the playground saw this egg-shaped object. It was pretty high up there at first, but it came lower and lower and lower and started kind of doing this weird bouncing yo-yo type movement, which we do hear sometimes, sort of a pendulum-like movement. And the younger sister, Robin, became scared, and she ran away when this thing started to get real low, whereas Sharon looked at it and was fascinated and just kind of watched this thing until suddenly it took off. She goes back into her classroom and starts to feel funny. She does not feel well. Her face is real hot. She goes to see the nurse, and the nurse is like, "Oh, my God, your face is burned." She went to the doctor, and she was diagnosed with first-degree burns on her face, around her eyes in particular. The doctor said it couldn't be sunburn. Sharon herself said, "Well, I wasn't even facing the sun when I looked at this thing. The sun was behind me." So apparently it wasn't sunburn. It wasn't super severe, but it was bad enough where she had to use cream and wear sunglasses, couldn't look at bright light, was unable to read for sometime after this. Then something really weird happened. This is in the days following this incident. She had experienced a rapid period of accelerated growth. She grew about a foot.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Weird, right? I mean, there are cases where people have been struck by a beam, or plants in particular, and they've had accelerated growth. People, not so much. But it certainly happened in her case. And caused quite a furor. The whole incident made the newspapers more than once. The police chief talked about it and said, stay away from UFOs. They may be dangerous. Project Blue Book looked into it. They declared it a hoax without actually doing any investigation. At that point, Blue Book was not a legitimate research organization. It was certainly, according to Hynek, who was the guy, it was much more interested in prosaic cases, cases with obvious conventional explanations. And any case that was good, they would try to sort of debunk the witness. So they weren't interested in this case and declared it a hoax without even looking into it really at all.
And which is still amazing for them because, like you say, they were really their own skeptics. And they still ended up with something like a 22 or something higher percent of unknown cases that they couldn't figure out.
That's 701 cases. That's the infamous 701. The infamous 701. But we have other things to talk about. Not 701 commercials. Some people think we have a lot. Just a few. More to come with Preston, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Adam Baratta, author of the book Gold is a Better Way. It became a national bestseller. It's now become a movement. My member site went live 1 year ago, and since that time, gold is up $250. It's outperforming the highest flying stock market in history by 15%. And for the first time, I'm opening up my live gold summit to non-members. This is a $1,500 ticket for free. Join me and my over 5,000 members via live stream on August 14th and learn the secrets to the next gold boom. The event is for investors with over $100,000. If that's you, text the words Gold Summit to 49776. That's the words Gold Summit to 49776. Get your $1,500 ticket for free for our August 14th live event now. Text Gold Summit to 49776 and join the movement. Text the words Gold Summit to 49776. That's the words Gold Summit to 49776.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus the free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, the other thing here is we know Project Blue Book shuttered in 1969. Rumors of ongoing investigations, of course, the stuff going on now with the Pentagon UFO study and naval gun camera photos and everything. Looking at all this, Preston, do you think that this is just par for the course, or is something brewing in terms of UFO disclosure?
I think we are going to see UFO disclosure. Certainly we're trending towards that. And like you said, the UFOs could just appear over a major city. The Phoenix lights were to happen again. I mean, all bets are off. We have enough cell phones now. I think we would be done. I don't know how this is all going to roll out, but I feel like we do have the craft. We do have the bodies. I think there's enough evidence, enough whistleblowers to say that this is, in fact, a real phenomena, and we have the hardware to prove it, and we're not seeing it. What we're getting now is this some movement after years of no movement at all, where they're releasing some footage and allowing pilots to report their sightings and this sort of thing. But it's very slow. It's very drip by drip. And I feel like there's so many secrets that our government is holding right now that they're doing disclosure because their hand is being forced. There's a lot of pressure on all sides, and they don't start disclosing, people are going to lose faith in government completely. And they're going to lose control of the subject.
What do you think? I think there's plenty of people who've already passed that point, Preston. I mean, okay, we're talking about, the message of nuclear war. And, this is really apropos because it wasn't that long ago that I just released my first music video, and it was all about the environment and an eco-apocalypse. And the one I'm working on now is about a nuclear apocalypse. And I'm just hearing that Trump is deciding he wants to pull out of the nuclear control arms treaty with Russia. You know, and that the DEFCON is like as high as it's been since the Cuban Missile Crisis. And nobody knows this. Nobody seems to care. It's just like, oh, well, Fukushima is a daily reality. What's a few, nukes coming down on us or whatever?
Yeah, there was an interesting clip where Trump was interviewed by Tucker Carlson about the UFO subject. And Trump kind of bounced back and forth from skeptic to believer and was pretty noncommittal. But discussed the possibility, certainly, of there being crashed UFOs, and pretty much said that, yeah, there are pilots out there who believe this stuff. I don't know if he's going to be our disclosure president or not, but
maybe. Maybe if it happens to him, one flies along Air Force One or something and says, hey, wake up, then that might do the trick, because that's what they need, these guys, Russia and America. We can't do it ourselves, but maybe the aliens, if they get out there and say, hey, look, here we are, like, play nice and re-sign your nuclear non-proliferation treaty,
Right. Someone's going to disclose. I don't know if it's going to be the U.S., but UFOs are not going to go away. There's no sign of that. I think what we're seeing is a slow and steady escalation where these things are coming closer and closer. And there's these regular waves like Phoenix Lights, but certainly not just Phoenix Lights. There's Gulf Breeze. There's the Hudson Valley wave, the Belgian wave. I could go on and on with these regular waves of sightings. And we're a little bit overdue. Feels like we haven't had one since, Stevensville was a big event. I feel like we're going to have another one of these coming up. And it's going to break into the mainstream.
But the problem now, though, is our own technology is so good now that we can either make something that kind of looks the same or is some sort of an illusion that looks just like it. Like we can make, Michael Jackson appear to be on stage with Frank Sinatra if we want to now. So how are we going to convince anybody that they're actually real unless the aliens themselves actually come down and say, okay, we're here, actually do the landing, or better yet, they could just broadcast from space somewhere. They don't need to come down and risk themselves or anything else. They could do it easily from a safe distance from our world and let everybody know they're here. Why don't they?
Yeah, I think we have a little bit of a catch-22. I think the ETs don't want to officially announce their presence until we're a more unified world and the disclosure movement really takes place, whereas disclosure is not going to take place unless the UFOs, force the hand. I don't know. I mean, definitely, I think the whole disclosure movement is one of the forefronts of UFO research right now in the area where we're probably going to see big changes. But I just think we're going to have more waves of sightings. The evidence that UFOs are here is just building and building and building.
But then we had like Redfern, who was saying, well, the Russians were using it back in the days of the contactees as a political tool to sort of steer social change. So like, how do we know that that's not the same thing going on again? That it's, you know, when our own governments can use it now to their advantage to pull some kind of psyops operation where it looks like it's the aliens coming down and we don't know the difference. How are we supposed to know it's really them anymore?
Yeah, a false flag thing, and this is something that has been brought up a number of times by various researchers. Certainly a possibility. Let's not forget that some of these ETs, presumably if that's what we're talking about here, look just like us, the Nordic, the human-looking type. So what's to stop, you know, a military official who has this technology from parading around as an ET and doing a landing on the White House lawn? So, yeah, we're going to have to be very careful about this. I don't think the public is going to care one bit about footage coming from the Air Force or a piece of metal.
No, these things need to land. I mean, we need a mothership tour. We, you know, something where – what's the movie where the one came down in Africa somewhere and it was disabled and they ended up becoming like a second-class society on Earth, you know, something like that, where there's just no denying it anymore, no matter how it happens.
Yeah, until we see the alien bodies and the crash, the craft itself, I don't think the public is going to care. They will not look into this until, you know, it becomes undeniable. And a film and an Air Force testimony and a piece of metal is not going to do it. We need to see the alien bodies. Once we see that, then all bets are off. We know this is a real phenomena. There's the craft. There are the bodies. We already have this.
Yeah, District 9, that's what I was thinking of. You've probably seen that one, right? The District 9 movie?
Yeah. The subject is one of the most popular in film, by the way.
Yeah.
In video games. It's
like we're all ready for it, okay? Like, okay, aliens, like if you're listening, we're all okay. Come on down with, you know, you're not going to frighten us all off anymore and there's not going to be mass panic in the streets. It's like so long as you don't get in the way of people on the golf course when you land, you're going to be fine. Come on down, you know?
Yeah, like I said, the younger generation, this is normal for them. They grew up with the term UFOs being there all the time. So it's nothing new to them. It's always been in video games. It's always been in movies. It's a very popular part of culture today.
You know what's happening today? A couple of announcements. Preston Dennett talking about those schoolyard UFOs. In fact, I think of something interesting. We'll get to that in the next segment. Gene, Preston, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A lawyer for many of the victims of convicted sex offender and financier Jeffrey Epstein says Epstein's suicide means he took the easy way out.
We wanted Jeffrey Epstein to face justice. We wanted that day when he would be held accountable. My clients felt that that's when the healing could truly begin, and now they've been deprived of that.
That's attorney Lisa Bloom speaking after Epstein was found dead in his New York City prison cell earlier Saturday morning.
President Trump saying the U.S. will reciprocate after several nations, including Germany, Japan, and Canada, issued travel warnings following a series of deadly mass shootings in the U.S. The president saying under his leadership, the U.S. is, quote, a very reciprocal nation, and it will do to others what they've done to us. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Thinking here, you know, schoolyard bullies could always threaten their victims. I'm going to bring the UFOs down. So watch yourself. Don't get in my face.
I'm friends with the aliens, man. You know, really, that should be the little nerd guy that's always getting picked on and then befriends the aliens and gets even with the bullies. That's how that should go.
That's funny in the movie Shazam. That kind of sort of happened where this young guy says that he is a friend of the superhero and nobody believes him. Then why didn't they at the school? Of course, they don't know that. A fellow student, Billy Batson, is Shazam. He comes in there with a birthday cake, the superhero, and then they have to believe him.
Well, they don't really. The subject would be perfect for Spielberg or someone who loves, you know how he likes to get the kids in the movies and stuff like that? This would make an awesome documentary series or docudrama series or something like that. I'd love to see a series about this done by somebody who really has that kind of vision for portraying, you know, the wonderment of children and alongside alien visitation. It'd be so cool.
Yeah, I still think the subject has got a lot to offer for film, certainly. And we haven't had really the ultimate alien abduction movie. There's been a number of them out there, but none that are like fully accurate. And people have tackled Roswell or tried, but the whole story has never been told. Yeah, I think there's all kinds of fertile ground here for filmmakers, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you've got 100 cases here that they could get started with right away. I mean, I'd love to see this like as a series or something on Netflix or something like that. You know, maybe you should get in touch with Bryce Zabel or something and see if he wants to film it, because it would be really cool. It could be so interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to travel to all of these schools and see what evidence we can get for each of these cases. Because a lot of them are relying on very few witnesses. Some know. The Westall case, Shane Hurd, he's the kind of the go-to guy. He did a documentary on it. He's interviewed, gosh, I think it's well over 100 people. And I know Randall Nickerson is putting together a film about the Rua Zimbabwe incident. And he's also interviewed over 100 people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can see some pretty good documentaries on some of these on, you know, just right on the YouTube, just, you know, straight up documentaries. But, you know, I was thinking something more along. Okay. Yes, I'm guilty. I'm thinking entertainment here. you know, like when I said Zabel, I think he was Dark Skies, right, Gene?
Dark Skies, that's Bryce Zabel, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he did a really good job of that. And you know, you can imagine dramatizing some of this. If it had some good acting and directing going on, it would be really cool.
Well, remember here, he is working on a feature involving Stanton Friedman.
Right.
He was mentioning it during his last appearance on the show. And speaking of that, of course, we have the Project Blue Book series, which is Robert Zemeckis, by the way,
who
was a producer there. And that's the one where we have a fictionalized sci-fi version of the life of Dr. J. Allen Hynek, in which Dr. Hynek is presented as an action hero, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, but it's still for fun. But anyhow, I guess we're getting a little off track here. Sorry, Preston. I just think it would be really cool to see something like your book made into a series like that. What's the weirdest case you've ever run across in this? I mean, because we all love that.
Yeah, I mean, the Lowell Elementary School case with the, you know, Sharon still growing up, but that's definitely weird.
Yeah.
Another weird kind of subset of cases occurred in Malaysia. This occurred over a period of a couple of years in the early 1970s, where a bunch of schools had these visitations with tiny miniature little UFOs. An early case began when a student was missing, and they began a search and searched around, found him outside the school in the brush, and he was brought back inside. He was dazed. He had an injury on his leg, a little wound there, and he said this tiny little UFO landed and outstepped these, you know, inches high, you know, a foot high maybe, figures, six of them, all in little jumpsuits. And he ran and tried to grab one, and it whipped out this little sort of laser gun type thing and shot him on the leg.
It's like, I saw there. A Twilight Zone of that, I'm sure.
Right?
Oh, that's such a crazy, awesome subject. Yeah.
Yeah, that kid was not the only one who saw this, though. Following that, a bunch of other students saw that. And there was another school, same thing. It landed on the playground. Little figures got out. The teacher saw it as well. So weird. I mean, some of the times these are figures and UFOs described in ways that you very rarely hear.
You know, there have been a number of reports of very small UFOs in conjunction with larger ones. It's almost like they're little probe craft or something like that. You know, it makes you wonder if the real entities behind the craft are the little humanoid figures or not, or are they just some sort of an avatar for the craft itself, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, these aliens, they're just avatars. They're not actually beings themselves. They're just the interface between whatever that craft is and human beings.
Yeah, like an arm reaching out, or who knows? I mean, we might not even be able to conceive of it, but some people have said
it. Exactly. Like an avatar. An avatar is the perfect thing. Like, you could even compare it to, like, the movie, right, where you've got some sort of a shell of existence that interfaces with the rest of the world, right? But the real intelligence behind it is the ship itself. Like, if you look at the cover of your book, which is kind of cool, by the way, you know, you've got this silvery, shimmering object in the back that is the real mystery. And then you've got these little alien guys kind of talking to the kids, right? They're the interface between the aliens and, or between the kids and the ship itself.
Right, which would explain why almost universally, when it comes to ETs or entities, they are described as humanoid, with eyes, nose, mouth, arms, legs, head. So what's that? I mean, why do they all look so much like us? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we're kind of stuck with these stories. And a number of people have described the UFOs as they felt were alive themselves.
Yeah, like people can have often thought as if they're in contact, or like you said earlier, that they're being watched, and that there's some kind of an actual connection between the craft and the observer. And it's not just necessarily these beings that come out of them, you know, that it's actually influencing what this craft itself is doing. Well, who knows? I mean, I guess it could be the aliens are controlling the craft. Who knows? But I don't know for sure. How does it explain little tiny miniature ones and all the various different kinds then? It seems to me more that we have some semblance of a craft of some kind. And then there's this way that it interfaces with people through the use of whether it's some kind of humanoid in tinfoil like clothing or something like that, some crazy looking thing. I mean, there's so many different kinds of aliens.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Rua Zimbabwe case. A bunch of the students described the ETs as having long black hair. You don't often hear that. One was described as bald and looking very much like a gray, but the other, no, was described as being having a dark skin or a dark jumpsuit and long black hair like a hippie.
Well, maybe they are rock and roll singers, these ETs.
Why not? I don't know. I've never heard of anyone going on board a UFO and hearing music, but you know, people have described them as being aesthetically pleasing with, you know, pastel colors and no artwork on the walls. I've never heard that.
But doesn't it seem sometimes that the UFOs are play acting for our benefit? They appear in different ways to different people, and that makes you wonder about what's going on. Are there many, many different types of UFOs really busy visiting Earthlings, abducting Earthlings, hanging out, different races, different models? Or is there a subjective factor where something roughly the same is being seen by different people in different ways, depending on what the stimulus is? And what is that stimulus? That's, of course, the core of the mystery and things we can talk about forever and forever in a day. But no, we've got Preston Dennett, and we're looking at that schoolyard UFO encounters. And that's just something that presents an interesting focus of where sightings begin for some people who have regular paranormal encounters. More to come with Gene Randall and Preston. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The people who see UFOs, are they chosen?
I think in some cases, yeah. A lot of these kids who've seen these schoolyard encounters, well, they're in large groups, and generally that's their one and only encounter. But that's not always the case. There was one guy, a case in Georgia, from Leonard Stringfield, a great researcher. He ended up interviewing this kid. How it all began was the kid came home from school one day after a bake sale, you know, a fundraising event, and told his parents he had seen a UFO. His parents didn't believe him. He's like, no, it's after me. I'm really scared. And they didn't believe him. So he ends up withdrawing $500 from his bank account, leaves a note on the table, says, I'm leaving. The UFOs are after me. So they had to call the police. It was a big to-do. They ended up finding him at Atlanta Airport. They contacted Leonard Stringfield, who got the whole story out of him. It turned out a year earlier, this is in 1974, he was on his playground at his high school when a UFO showed up, came very low. He felt it was coming for him. It frightened him pretty badly. And that night, he had a visitation with these kind of pale-skinned, bald humanoids, which said, don't be afraid. We won't hurt you, but you need to come with us. Following that, I mean, yeah, so apparently he's having experiences. Some of the kids in the Rua Zimbabwe case ended up having experiences following that event, but most didn't.
That's really interesting. That actually reminds me of that Nicolas Cage movie, I think Knowing, where the aliens come down and make some sort of contact with the kids and stuff and prior to the end of the world. I'm not sure if you've seen that, but that's what happens.
Yeah, I did see that movie. Pretty interesting. I think that... that's precisely what's happening here. I do think there's an agenda, and I think it's probably more than just saying, you know, we're here, because it's such a persistent thing that they're doing. These cases, yeah, they began in 1950, but they haven't stopped. It's a regular case like, you know, a widely viewed case pretty much every year.
One of the things that we can extrapolate out of this, okay, so here's an example, is that, okay, we've got very, very large UFOs being reported, like going way back to the beginning of the show when you mentioned the JAL case and that got you interested in the first place. We're talking about very large ships. Then we've got these other accounts of these very small ones, even the size of toys. Well, what that seems to indicate is that whatever means these contraptions use for power, to levitate, whatever it is, it can't be all that intense. Like, we're not talking about, you know, we're putting the power of an atomic bomb inside of something the size of a baseball that can float around. I mean, maybe these things don't use much power at all. Maybe that's just like a 9-volt battery could do it. We're just missing the secret, just some little ingredient on how these things are able to do what they do. I don't think that we have to put in massive amounts of power.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. Where they're coming from, we don't know. We don't know how they're powered. We know so little about what's going on. And we're still really at the beginning of research, even though we've been dealing with this on a heavy-duty level for, gosh, since 1947 at least.
Well, yeah, I mean, they talk about the Al-Kibari drive and all of that and how, well, okay, we've got the power requirements down to something, you know, less than that of a small star. Well, okay, that's still a lot more power than you think you would need if you've got a little tiny UFO the size of a toy or, you know, say a football or softball or something like that. They can't be using that much power. It can't be needed. I think these people are looking in the wrong direction when they think that you need a nuclear power plant's worth of power to create whatever these things do.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a number of cases where, you know, UFOs are definitely attracted to rocket launches. We've seen that in, you know, White Sands, at China Lake, you know, the Saturn rocket down Seal Beach. All of these have attracted UFOs. There are a number of cases where people have shot off toy rockets. There was a case in upstate New York where the father shot off little toy rockets, and that attracted UFOs. And there's one schoolyard case like that as well, and I believe it's Montana or perhaps South Dakota, where they were having a student rocket fair. Following it, is this UFO showed up. So they're clearly interested in our technology, at least.
How about cases where afterwards the military or the government has showed up?
Yes, it's very interesting because it doesn't happen a whole lot. But boy, when it does, great cases, the Crestview Elementary School case in 1967 in Opa-locka, Florida. Yeah, very young children saw a number of UFOs, one apparently landed behind the school, and it was hovering there. Well, the Air Force showed up right away while these craft were still there, came into the school, questioned the students, questioned the teachers, and shut down the school. And
wow.
Sent the children home early. Several of the students said they were let out, you know, because they could walk home or ride bikes. Others had to be more special handling involving the school buses. But those who could, you know, walk out were allowed to leave. The UFOs were still there, hovering over the school. And one kid gets home, he's like, well, his mother is pretty upset. She's like, why are you home so early? And he's like, well, UFO landed next to the school. She calls up the school, and the teacher's like, well, I'm really not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, that, I mean, talk about believing your child, right? At first, you know, what is a parent supposed to think when they hear that, right?
Right.
And then when they phone the school and get, well, the Air Force is here, and yes, it's going on, that would be a day you probably wouldn't forget as a parent, I would think.
Right. And with the Westall case in Melbourne, Australia, you know, after 300 kids saw this, the military showed up immediately, as did the media, for that matter, the police. There was a huge official response. The headmaster calls a special assembly and tells all the students that they didn't see what they thought they saw, that there's no such thing as UFOs, and you are not to talk about this. And if anyone does talk about it, they will get detention. A number of students were given detention because they had already talked to the media, which is in no way fair. Yeah, there was an immediate clampdown on that. There was a few articles published in local newspapers, but it just faded away out of the public view for years and years, and even today, researchers can't find any official documentation that the military was there, and there were also planes flying around these craft. There's no documentation of that either.
Well, what they don't seem to have is the neuralizer then. They don't just show up and flash everybody in the gymnasium, okay, now go about your business. You didn't see what you thought you saw. Although, like you were saying, I guess there were some people that are having amnesia, which is kind of weird.
They did that in one case in Missouri. A lady was abducted out of the gymnasium during a school slumber party. There was 50 high school students. There was a time-stopping incident or a missing time incident. She later went under hypnosis and recalled grays coming into the school, taking her and four other students. It was crowded. You know, there were girls everywhere. Pulls them out of the school into a flying saucer that's landed right next to the school. Yeah, it's an amazing case. That's all she really recalls. And it was all under hypnosis. But she was basically abducted from the gymnasium while there was over 50 students there, all of who were switched off.
Preston, tell our listeners if they want to know more about the things you do, where do they go?
Yeah, I do have a website. If you Google my name, it should take you right there. The actual address is prestondennett.weebly.com. Spielberg.com. I got all my books there, excerpts. You can contact me through my website if you have a story to share. I always love hearing from people, or a question or a comment or whatever. Yeah.
Sounds great to me. We can be found on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast fan clubs, community groups, whatever they are, on Facebook. And we're working that over. We'll get that fixed. By the way, Preston will be back on this weekend's After the Paracast. After the Paracast special show offered strictly to subscribers to the Paracast Plus. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Prices begin at just $1.49. And to quote or crib the words from a certain magazine that's no longer going to be published, our price for a week, $1.49 cheap. I like that. You know, I'll patent it, but I can't. Somebody use it already. We also get a version of the show, Paracast, free of network ads. This show, free of the network ads, and with better quality audio, higher bit rate. What more can I say? For more information about the Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Preston Dennett, you have so many stories. We can't wait to hear some more cases that you've investigated. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.